Interesting interviews from Cam Hayward and Devin Bush came out on Tuesday. We want to show clips of those interviews and talk about the fixing of the Steelers' run defense and why we might see something very different in this second preseason game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm Chris Carter of Locked On Steelers Podcast. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things from the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button. If you're enjoying the video, hit the subscribe button to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus content whenever we bust it out. We thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. I want to break into talking about the run defense because I spent a lot of time talking about the offense, and then we spent a lot of time talking about Devin Bush. Now, Devin Bush had some very interesting comments on Tuesday, and we're going to play those in the second segment. But I want to lead off with Cam Hayward speaking, and he talked about gap integrity and the run defense. He also talked about a little leadership components here because the run defense has to get fixed. And I said to all of y'all after that Seahawks preseason game, yeah, it looked rough. Pretty much everybody in the defensive line except Isaiah Loudermilk and DeMarvin Leal were getting whipped. The outside linebackers didn't look great. But again, no Cam Hayward, no Larry Ogunjobi, no Tyson Alualu, no TJ Watt, no Alex Highsmith, literally the five guys up front that you're going to want to see the most. And it appeared on Tuesday's practice, Mike Tomlin was ready to see everybody back out there. Najee Harris practiced in full. Deontay Johnson practiced in full. Chase Claypool practiced in full. Pat Freiermuth was back there. Cam Hayward, TJ Watt, Larry Ogunjobi. And where I'm going with this is that Larry Ogunjobi was matched up with pretty much the entire interior offensive line of the Pittsburgh Steelers and whipped them all to the point that Mike Tomlin was saying, go ahead, Larry O, and calling him out. And there was a lot of excitement. There was a lot of excitement when they signed him. There was a lot of excitement when he first started to play in training camp. They're very excited about what he's going to bring to the table. And it's starting to make you think maybe him and Cam Hayward up the middle are going to be the big fix in the run defense. Of course, with TJ Alex as well. They do need the linebackers to play better. But listen to Cam Hayward talk about gap integrity and the importance of it in Terrell Austin's defense. Earlier in this interview, he mentioned how a lot of the installs are still very much concepts that were in the Keith Butler era, but now there's some different flares to it. But listen to what he talks about, how he talks about gap integrity, and then he also talks about the challenge of kind of teaching Najee Harris how to be a leader as a young player on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Here's Cam Hayward from Tuesday.
That's got to do with gap integrity, stopping the run, as Coach Tomlin was talking about yesterday.
Of course. That's what it comes down to, gap integrity, working a one-on-one block, and getting multiple guys running to the ball. To do that, you got to communicate and line up right.
Now you talked about on the Pivot podcast that you've taken him under your wing to be a leader.
Oh,
starting
wow.
Last year. I know he gave you a shout out.
Huh.
What kind of things have you been doing to kind of help that
process? Najee's a heck of a dude. The great thing is he's a great football player first.
Thank you.
And I think everybody believes he can be that leader because he leads by example. I'm just trying to tell him to be more vocal in that. Don't be afraid to bring another guy along. Don't be afraid to challenge guys. It's one thing to be liked by everything. It's another thing to be respected. Guys live with that. He can be the best leader here because he carries himself well on and off the field.
He's a vocal guy, but is it about having him be vocal in the right way?
He's vocal and loves to have fun, but I think it comes down to, understanding what the offense needs. If they need a kick in the butt, sometimes you got to give it to them. If they're really rolling on all cylinders, patting guys on the back, making them understand that, we're doing a great job and make sure that the momentum builds in the right way. Sometimes a leader's best quality is just understanding the flow of the game.
So, okay, we'll get to the Najee part in a second, but when they talked about gap integrity, winning one-on-ones, It wasn't something the Steelers defensive line did a lot of last year. Go back and look at the tape. You know, when you look at even Isaiah Loudermilk, who I thought did better in this preseason game and showed a bit of the progress that I've been seeing in camp, he was getting whipped a lot last year. Chris Wormley, same thing, especially in the run game. Wormley would win a lot more on pass rush opportunities and times when the Steelers' collective pass rush was able to win situations. But Larry Ogunjobi looks like he's winning one-on-ones consistently in run defense. And if y'all remember, for people who follow the show, I was a little critical. I was like, I'm not so sure he's going to do a lot of that. But the more I've seen it, it is clear he's going to do that. Now, I'm still a little curious how he takes on double teams. We'll see how that progresses. But right now, Larry Ogunjobi looking really good next to Cam Hayward in practices. I'm very eager to see how they look together against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are going to have Travis Etienne most likely. And Etienne, he didn't play last year, but if you watched him in college the way I did, you're very excited about what he put together. It was really him and Najee Harris were 1A, 1B of that draft class when you looked at running back talent. And I think the Steelers defense has a chance to show, hey, this is the real run defense you're going to see in 2022. So that's fascinating there. But there's also the Najee Harris leadership component. Cam Hayward obviously believing in him. And it's interesting because Cam has now spoken on multiple levels of this. He's made sure that his locker was next to Kenny Pickett because he knows they have to groom him to be the next leader. He's mentoring Najee Harris, and Najee Harris saying that on the Pivot podcast, also a great episode. Go watch that and listen to what he and TJ Watt had to say. TJ Watt saying, you know, this is a Super Bowl contending roster soon. There's a lot of optimism there, but you know, if you haven't seen the little the social media videos, like, you know, Najee Harris playing Jenga with Cam Hayward at night at training camp in the dorm rooms and everything, there's clearly an effort here from Cam Hayward to say, like, hey, like, I'm only going to be here about a few more years. You know, I know as much Cam says, oh, I'll be here as long as I want to. Cam's my age. So, like, you know, and like, I'll be in media for a while, but Cam's ready to transition to media because that's where, you know, you can only be in your 30s and be a great defensive lineman for but so long. But he knows that, and he's trying to train. Hey, these got to be the next leaders. These got to be the guys that carry the torch as Pittsburgh Steelers for what it means to lead and what to set the example for the next set of younger guys that come after them. And I think it's very cool that Cam's doing that. But one thing that's going to happen on top of that, they have to fix this run defense. I am encouraged by what's going on at practice right now that it's actually happening, but there's still the question of the linebackers. Now, Miles Jack, as you know, looked good in that preseason game, had two really good run stuffs. He's looked great all camp. He looks like he's A1, the top linebacker. Devin Bush, not so much. Devin Bush spoke to the media. If you know about his comments, you're probably a little like, yeah, that's a big turnoff. If you haven't heard what he said, I want to play for what he said in a second here because it was very interesting, and it's going to spark a whole lot of social media commentary as far as if he's going to turn it around, if he's not going to turn it around, and what's the plan for the Steelers at linebacker moving forward. We did a whole episode yesterday about whether they should trade for Roquan Smith. I'm telling y'all, there's a lot that would have to happen for that to occur. I don't think it will, but we'll get to Devin Bush's comments in a second here. First, we got to talk to you guys about the Elias Game Plan app. With the NFL season right around the corner, it's the time of the year that everyone loves gearing up for fantasy football, sports betting on NFL games. It's time to get your competitive edge to win all your contests. That's why I highly recommend the Elias Game Plan app. It's the ultimate sports betting and fantasy companion for the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball. Elias Game Plan is the only sports app from the most trusted name in sports stats. That's the Elias Sports Bureau. And they are the official statisticians of U.S. pro sports leagues, including the NFL. You can get players' news, league-validated stats and records, expert gambling and fantasy analysis, player and team previews updated all season long from the most respected research team in the industry. Take my advice. Download the Elias Game Plan app today. The NFL season is right around the corner, so don't wait. Find the Elias Game Plan app in the App Store or the Play Store today on your phone. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. Forgot to mention, the videos that you're seeing right now, I am not at training camp. I'm at pitch training camp for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette right now. These videos are courtesy of Nick Farabaugh, host of the Locked On Pitt podcast. So go follow Nick's great work. He talks about Pitt every day, just like I talk about the Steelers every day. He does an awesome job. We thank Nick Farabaugh for the clips that he puts on, he's providing for the show when I can't be at practice. Now, I will be at Steelers practice when they move back to the South Side, but just can't be in two places at once. And Latrobe is a long drive from the Southside facility where Pitt and the Steelers practice. But let's get into Devin Bush's comments, because this will turn some heads, and not in a good way, as you can imagine. Here's what he said in the first part, and then listen to what he about pressure as far as him performing this year because of his contract situation. But he also delves into, you know, the linebacker situation with him, Spillane, Miles Jack. Just listen to how he approaches these questions.
Do you feel like this is a make or break year for you? The last chance season for you? Do you feel like
last chance for what?
To be here after, you know, having your option declined and, you know, that sort of thing.
Like a Steeler? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the business. Yeah. I mean, I'm still being in the NFL, so we'll see.
How much can Brian Flores help you in your development? What has he done so far through camp?
I mean, he's been a good coach. You know, he breaks things down. He has those football conversations, so I think those, you know, from his experience being a head coach and being on both sides of the ball, I mean, he kind of gives you perspective on offensive mentalities and stuff like that. So I think that's one of the good things that he brings to the table.
You and Robert were listed as co-starters at the other inside linebacker spot beside Miles. Do you feel like you have to compete against him to solidify a starting spot?
I think we're a good rotation. I think we all three linebackers that can be on the field at one time. So, I mean, it was no shot to me or anything like that, if that's what you're thinking. But, I mean, we all competitors, and that's what we're going to do.
Okay, so lots of things. First, the initial comment when he's like, it's a business, I'll be in the NFL next year anyway. That obviously drove a lot of folks in a direction that's like, well, this guy doesn't care if he's a Steeler next year. There's no way to defend that. That's just a bad comment. That's not having enough foresight to see like what that's going to come off as. That's not sounding like, hey, I want to be the best version of myself for my team. And that's not to say that I don't think Devin Bush doesn't want to. I've known since Devin Bush was a rookie, with the way that he doesn't really fancy talking to the media. He don't like the media. His father was an athlete. And there's a lot of players whose fathers were not treated well by media who grew up to, you know, well, if their father was a player, excuse me, in the professional, like Devin Bush was, but who grew up to not like the media. Like, that was Barry Bonds' thing. Bobby Bonds, his father was treated very poorly and, you know, dealt with a lot of issues. So Barry Bonds came up not really having much respect for media. And you can read and hear from a lot of journalists about how he gave a lot of media the hard time. And that's not always the case. Cam Hayward's father was an NFL player and dealt with media, and Cam Hayward treats us very well, and he's very open to things. But it's obvious Devin Bush ain't comfortable talking to us, and this is the first time that he's spoken at training camp since he spoke to us at mini camp. And so to say that when someone asks about a contract situation, you know, I get if your thing is like, hey, I'm not thinking about that, I'm just thinking about how getting better every day, say something along those lines. But to say, you know, I mean, I would be around next year, it's business, or I'm going to be in the NFL next year, like, that's like opening up yourself to all this, the criticism that he did receive all over social media. And that is a concern. You know, if you look at that now, is it the concern that he's never going to fix himself? That's where I differ from the public. You know, again, I've been on here. I've said, look, Devin Bush played very poorly in that first game. He had 15 snaps, didn't really make an impact on any of those 15 snaps in the first preseason game. He needs to make some impact plays in his second preseason game. And according to Tim Benz and Chris Adamski of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, Terrell Austin sort of said something to the same effect in an interview on Tuesday, basically saying like, look, Devin gets what's going on. Devin understands what's happening. But he needs to make a play while understanding what's happening. And to my understanding, what's happening, a big part of what's going on with Devin Bush is that he is communicating and relaying the signals to everyone at a good rate. And he is handling the green dot right now as far as practice goes. That's a good thing. And communicating is important. That used to be a big problem when the Steelers lost Ryan Shazier. They needed guys who could relay stuff and keep everyone on the same page. It's important to have someone who can think at that level. But you need someone who can think at that level and then play at a high level as well. And that's where Devin Bush hasn't been since 2020, before he was injured. And, you know, we've talked about his knee injury and all this other stuff several times. When people asked about his knee and the injury in that same interview, Devin Bush was just like, you know, it's behind me. It's behind me. Well, if it's behind him, He needs to show that it's behind him. He needs to make more plays. He needs to get out in front of things, and you need to start seeing a difference. That's a big part of what happens, what needs to happen in this run defense. But one thing he also said is he just wants more reps. And it's not like he's demanding more reps from the Steelers, because he is in a rotation with Robert Spillane. And I do think it was good about this. He didn't throw Spillane or Jack under the bus. He didn't throw anybody in the bus. He was just kind of giving bland answers to say, like, hey, we're in a competition. We're in a rotation. That's just kind of how we are. We're all NFL linebackers. I think it's good and smart that he's doing that. But he needs to be able to show that, like, hey, this is why they traded up to get you 10th overall very soon. And who knows, maybe he will. And maybe part of this is just getting experience. You know, maybe it's part of just getting into the groove of things with a fully, you know, intact starting defensive line, playing next to Miles Jack more often, getting more reps and solidified in a position so he feels more comfortable at his linebacker spot again. Because again, the people who said he never had it, I think you're lost. That's not at all true. If you go back and look at his tape, when he came to the team, he was making plays. He led the team in tackles. He was a big part of what the defense was, in 2019 and in 2020 early on before he got hurt. But last year he wasn't that, and he needs to get back to that. Will he ever get back to that? We don't know. And that's what he has to start showing soon. But in this run defense fix, he needs to be playing a role here. Now, they could solve the run defense minimizing this thing. Now, it was reported Mike Tomlin on Tuesday, fully padded practice, had Terrell Edmonds and Trey Norwood working backs on backers drills. That doesn't always happen. So that might, the speculation started, could that lead to maybe them playing more dime backer situations where they're the guys that are stepping up into that position. And I've talked about the flexibility of the safety position for the Steelers for a bit now. I've also talked about how Trey Norwood has looked really good against the run all camp. You saw him making some plays in the first preseason game. He's looked pretty solid. Terrell Edmonds has always been a guy that, hey, you plug him and play him in the middle part of the field, he's going to help you out in some way, some form. Not a turnover machine, but a reliable defender. Maybe they're thinking the answer could be putting one of those two guys, or maybe both of those guys, and rotating them in to help there, because it's not just about stuffing the run. It's about stuffing the run and not being a liability against the pass. And to me, that's the biggest problem that Robert Spillane has, for all the people that are just like, well, just cut Devin Bush. You know, Devin Bush ain't getting cut at no point in time, but Devin Bush could be benched if Robert Spillane was a legitimate starting linebacker. Spillane, I think, is a competitive rotational linebacker. And that's fine. Spillane was not a high draft pick for this team. In fact, he was scooped off of another team's practice squad, I believe the Titans at the time. He's a guy who, you know, earned a spot with the team, and he's tough. He's physical. Good. You like that as a rotational guy. And I think he's very fine for that. Devin Bush cannot be a rotational guy, not for what they drafted him to be and not for what they need moving forward. Now, I will say this. I don't think the Steelers are going and necessarily getting somebody right away. Maybe they find a veteran out there in free agency, but Joe Schobert just got signed by the Broncos and John Bostic just got signed by someone else. Those are two former Steelers linebackers who are veterans that were floating out there who you could have brought in, but you didn't. So it tells me the Steelers look like they're trying to ride this out and see if Devin Bush can figure this out himself. But again, this is why they went and got Miles Jack. This is why, even before Miles Jack was cut, I called on this show that he was going to get cut by the Jaguars. And as soon as that happened, the Steelers were going to go get him. And sure enough, both of those things happened. Miles Jack is going to be the leading point linebacker of this group for this year. But he may be the factor that helps get Devin Bush back on track to where he needs to be, or at least make him more reliable, more accountable in the defense. Because right now he has been neither, and that is the scary part. But again, if they can fix the linebacker position with the run defense, then we're talking about something else there. But I want to talk to you guys about other things that happened at practice. Unfortunately, Master Teague III was carted off. That was very scary. We'll talk about that. And apparently Jaylen Warren has a new challenge that's been issued by the coaches that is have him doing a certain thing all across the St. Vincent College campus. We'll get an interview from him talking about that in just a second here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, we got to talk to you guys about betonline.net. Betonline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including Major League Baseball going on right now, preseason football, and of course, with the NFL back in full swing, you'll want to get in on all the action with preseason bets, you know, getting in on the year-long bets, your props, your odds, your lines. All that can be learned about on betonline.net. Your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action at BetOnline, where the game starts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. So, bad news for Master Teague that he got hurt and carted off the field. And if they being carted off the field means he's done, that's unfortunate. You know, he's an undrafted rookie, so he could hover around and be brought back in the future. But it does kind of, you know, further limit the field of guys who can compete for the backup running back job. As we've talked about before, Jaylen Warren did take reps with the ones on Monday. And, you know, Jaylen Warren has been the best backup running back, in my opinion, that has showed up in camp. But the Steelers do give credence to the vets that are on the roster, that those being Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland, who are also competing for the backup roles. Now, Benny Snell was back and healthy, as was Najee Harris on Tuesday. But Jaylen Warren was noticed doing something a little different because, as you remember, he fumbled in the preseason game. And that's a big no-no for Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers. They do not tolerate that sort of thing unless you're a superstar. They know it's like an occasion. It's like a, hey, you make a lot of plays, they'll find a way to stomach it, but not for rookies. So it's time for Warren to start to feel a little bit of the hazing that a rookie goes through. You know, if you saw pictures, DeMarvin Leal had to carry all of the defensive linemen's shoulder pads up the hill Tuesday. That was, you know, that kind of stuff happens. But Jaylen Warren, well, listen to what he had to do from an interview that he had with Nick Faribault and Noah Strachbean at St. Vincent College on Tuesday.
Speaking of the football, you've been carrying around all day. Was that like instituted by Coach Faulkner, or what's the story behind that?
Yeah, because I put the ball on the ground, so they kind of made me, I got to carry this around. Mm-hmm. If they see me, no matter where, Walmart, meetings, practice, if they see me without it, it's a fine. So, and I'm not trying to get fined, so.
Is there like a Sharpie on there? Something?
Yeah, they put Jaylen's baby. You should take care of this like I would take care of my baby. So,
how long have you been carrying that around?
Since Monday.
Since Monday? Is it filled with water?
Yes, it's heavy. You want to fill it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. That's definitely heavier than so I it expected is, to be.
Wow. Yeah, it's. Yeah.
Who gave that to you?
The running back coach.
Eddie?
Yeah. So what happened? Do they like try and knock it out like over the day, or is it like you gotta protect it?
Yeah, people will come and like hit it just to like make sure I got it secure, but they just can't see me. He can't see me without it.
Okay.
He can't see me walking and I don't got it in my arm.
So you've been eating one, like left handed?
Making sure you don't pop up in my room. Put it everywhere.
Yeah.
So like, do you think, I know you had that fumble on Saturday. Is that the one thing that you're like looking at right now and saying, I got to just get that better with? Or is there that like the thing Eddie's looking at and saying?
Obviously, I got to get better. Mm-hmm. We can't put the ball on the ground. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I feel like there's always room for improvement, you know, any aspect of my game. So I just try to focus on the little things to, you know, perfect my craft.
Again, we thank Nick Faribault for the video. Very, very appreciative of him giving us that. And that was also pretty funny. You know, that Jaylen Warren, that's very much a all levels of football thing, whether you're in, you know, you were in Little League, whether you were in high school, college. You know, if you fumble the ball, if a running back fumbles the ball, you make them carry it throughout the school. I know my man Joe Short was my running back in high school at Taylor Alderdice. And I remember one time Joe fumbled. He had to carry a football around him for like 3 days during weeks of classes all week long. That was interesting. Joe, it helped because Joe never fumbled again. And he got like 500 yards, like two games for us. It was ridiculous. Anyways, back to Jaylen Warren. I think it's really cool that he's comfortable with this kind of stuff and that they're pushing him in this way, because when the Steelers do this kind of stuff to you, that's usually a sound like, hey, they believe in you and they're excited about what they see, but they want to see how far you're willing to go, how much you're able to do. And again, Jaylen Warren, when you watch his style of play, he's absorbing contact. He's making bigger guys miss. He's hitting the hole hard. And he also said, you know, one of the biggest things he wants to improve is his hands. He wants to get better at catching the ball. Now, I think one of the biggest things he has to also do is win on special teams. He has to prove to Danny Smith he's an asset there, because that's one thing that Benny Snell has on all of the backups, is that he has been very good on special teams and extremely reliable. If Jaylen Warren can do that, I think he solidifies his place on the team. My stance on this has been consistent. I think that the Steelers are going to take a vet and a rookie. And I didn't think that Master Teague was really pushing Jaylen Warren as much, so I've always thought it was Jaylen Warren. But now that it's more so Master Teague, it's more so Jaylen Warren and Mateo Durant, who's the other running back out of Duke. I think Jaylen Warren might be kind of locked into this roster, but I'm intrigued to see what happens with Benny Snell now that he's healthy. You know, if he didn't come back, I thought it was going to be Anthony McFarlane and Jaylen Warren. But the Steelers, I think they got to keep three running backs, you know, three halfbacks, because they're keeping Derek Watt there. But I'm really intrigued to see, you know, how does this shake out, because I don't think they can afford to take four halfbacks with them into the season on their roster. And I don't think they want to give up Jaylen Warren by putting him on the practice squad, because I think anybody that watches that tape in the preseason, especially if he keeps up that kind of tape, he's going to get snatched up. So then the question becomes, okay, if you keep Jaylen Warren, well, who do you let go between Benny Snell and Anthony McFarlane? Well, obviously, McFarlane had a good game in that first preseason game, so he's going to get more opportunities, but you got to see what also happens with Benny Snell. Still, seeing Jaylen Warren take on the challenge of carrying that football all over the place, I think is a little bit heartwarming to see, like, okay, the Steelers, these are like the inner tests that you see the Steelers put their young guys through, that they're just making them get used to the NFL level and get used to, like, hey, you know, you're doing all these things right, but you still got to fix this part over here. So I'm intrigued to see that. Other things that happened on Tuesday at camp, Kenny Pickett did run with the first team offense. Good news there, but it didn't go great. He ran a 2-minute drill. I think they got stopped at the 11, as did Mason Rudolph's when he ran the second team. They also got stopped around the same part of the field, but still, it's showing more and more that Kenny Pickett is most likely going to run the second team offense in this upcoming preseason game. Mitch Trubisky's still going to get the start. I think that full, wholeheartedly, but I think that the Steelers, they're giving Kenny Pickett the chance to work with the higher-ups. And that's what Mike Tomlin said way back at the start, before the start of camp, when we first arrived at St. Vincent College on move-in day, and we talked to him and we asked him, like, hey, how's this going to work? He said, everybody's going to get a chance to work, every group. And we've seen Mason occasionally work the ones earlier in camp. We've seen Mitch really run the ones most of the time. Now it seems like Kenny's getting a chance to do that. But all in all, I do think that Kenny Pickett's going to get that second team opportunity on Saturday. And for all the people who said, oh, well, the Steelers, they're not going to, when Kenny Pickett had his success, it was against a third team Seahawks defense. I say this to you. Do you remember when Landry Jones was the quarterback in the preseason? Do you remember when Dennis Dixon was? Do you remember? I mean, even as much as I like Charlie Batch, even when Charlie Batch was at the time, the backup offense, the third string, and even the second string offense for the Steelers used to be terrible to watch. There was no fun. They didn't move the ball. It was just boring, and it was just terrible football. This offense moved the ball. That was encouraging. And Kenny Pickett was efficient, 13 of 15, 94 yards, 2 touchdowns, keeping the ball moving, reading the field, being on time. If you're doing it at the lowest level, that's a check. It doesn't mean you're a superstar. It doesn't mean that Kenny Pickett's the next Joe Montana. It doesn't mean any of those things. It just means he did his job against the first test. So now, if he gets a chance to go up against the second team, and I know it's just the Jaguars, not exactly a superstar team as well, but this is an opportunity for him to show, hey, that wasn't just some fluke, or that wasn't just me beating up on a bunch of players that'll never really start in the NFL. This is me making progress. But I've said before about how I feel about Kenny Pickett. I watched this man climb his way up at Pitt. I watch him improve consistently. This guy takes every single day charges himself to improve. Whether he does well or does poorly, he's always steady in the middle. He doesn't overreact to success. He doesn't overpunish himself for failures, but he focuses on the next day. He focuses on the next opponent. That was something that I truly admired. But when I covered him at Pitt, you never saw him as he was breaking Rod Rutherford's records, Dan Marino's records, Deshaun Watson's records, all those guys. That never fazed him. That never got him to sort of, put his hair back and say, like, aha, see, yeah, I am the man. And I think that that's important for his journey right now. He in the stadium that he played college football at, in front of like 48,000 fans, he threw a game-winning touchdown, to his team. The team mobbed him. There's a lot of things that he could have taken that, and he could be feeling really great about himself. But you don't see him doing that right now. You see him saying, hey, I need to focus on this week, having a great practice the next day. Those are the little things that Mike Tomlin loved about Kenny Pickett and why he brought him to the Pittsburgh Steelers and in the NFL draft, because they wanted to see that kind of guy approach a professional career. And if he can play at the professional level and keep that same attitude, the ceiling for him could turn out to be very high, which could make the Steelers offense have a very high ceiling. We'll talk more about the Steelers offense and defense tomorrow. We have Arthur Motes, former Steelers linebacker, joining the show. We had him on recently. I want to talk to him about what he's seen at training camp, some ideas that he has on the defense, and what he's looking for in the second Steelers preseason game. We'll talk about that more next time on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. Read my work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'll be covering Pitt football's training camp. I'll be there for the rest of the week, the next two weeks, as they're there. But you can also check out my work covering the Steelers on the Locked On Steelers podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button on the video if you enjoy it. Hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes. And if you want to help us out, go on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review with a positive comment. Do both at the same time, and you get a special shout out at the end of the show. Thanks again for checking us out. Back on your screens and in your ears tomorrow with Arthur Motes right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast.